Right.
Have you pressed the button?
I have.
Oh, okay.
So where are we?
We are afloat. But in very close proximity to mud.
Yes. On the estuary. Is it an estuary or harbour? What do you call it? It's not an estuary, is it?
It's a harbour, Rob. Don't insult the Chichester community by talking about an estuary.
No, it's definitely not. an estuary. But the lapping of the water on the hull is what probably people can hear.
So in our discussion about what we're going to talk about in this podcast, because of our proximity to mud, I think the idea sprung to you that we would talk about your interest in mudlarking.
Indeed. Yeah, mudlarking. So mudlarking is, and if you're on the Thames and the tide is out and you're walking along the foreshore, mudlarking is looking at your feet, looking at what's around you and seeing what's there. And if you do walk along the foreshore of the Thames, particularly the North Foreshore, you find all sorts of things. You find clay pipes, oyster shells, bone, Tudor pottery, Victorian pottery, tiles that go back to the old roof tiles that go back to the Great Fire of London, Roman bits and pieces. It's just festooned with stuff that people have left behind.
I'm fascinated by that introduction because, and I'm not saying this negatively, but that focus on things that are left behind, that old stuff that people have sort of discarded. And I'm remembering when we first started working together years and years ago, you were really interested in foraging.
Yeah.
And I wonder, has there been a journey from foraging to mudlarking?
I think it's a part of the same thing. It's a part of the same thing. So for me, the connections between the two is about noticing. Noticing what it is what we encounter at work and in education is paying particular attention to things that we would otherwise not pay attention to. So mudlarking, it's a form of exercise that we can do at work as a metaphor to understand deeply what it is that we're doing and the reasons why, which I guess we'll come on to. When it comes to foraging, it's paying attention to the dynamics in the classroom of how people can interact together to go out there and to see and interact with the world.
That's, I think, really interesting because, again, not saying this negatively, but that kind of focus on things at your feet that people have discarded made me think, oh, actually, there's something, not negatively, but something a bit sad in a way, that there are old things that people have discarded. But when you talk about the idea of foraging and you're looking at those dynamics and those relationships, it's very much about something that's live.
Yep.
Which I think is an interesting contrast.
In both cases, though, there is a dynamic at play. You know, if you're thinking about foraging with people that you're a part of, you are in an environment, and you've got to understand that environment, and you can only do it by relying on other people. With mudlarking, there's a similarity in the sense that with each wash of the tide, you're working and you're engaging with something that has never happened before. There are patterns that are recognisable, clearly, but, you know, each turn of the tide offers something unique.
So why did you end up sort of developing those ideas towards mudlarking? What was the hook into it as an idea?
So if we think a lot of my work is around organisation development, organisational culture. And it's always struck me that it's really, really difficult to notice. And we can go back to Pierre Bourdieu's work with Habitus Field and Illusio. There's loads and loads of theory that we can attach to this. But in terms of something that we can practically do, either as a metaphor, and mudlarking is a metaphor in an organisational sense, because clearly you're not going to get a group of people down on the Thames very often. So it's a metaphor, it's also a technique. So what I've done is to create a series of artefacts that replicate of film, of video, of photographs that replicate, you know, a little bit about what it's like on the foreshore. And then we can have a go at that, experience that, and then think to ourselves, what are we going to do in the workplace? And then finally, to get philosophical, there's an ontology to this. There is a metaphysics. There is an appreciation that we can see the world in a different way as long as we put the work in to do that. And again, we might pick up on some of those themes as we go on.
I have not watched your videos, I admit. Just give us a sense of what those techniques are.
So, for example, let's think about how we see the world. If you walk over Millennium Bridge in London, you go from the Tate Modern to St Paul's, you arrive on the North Bank and you walk into the City of London. What strikes you are the noise, the hustle and bustle, the people, the perpendicular buildings and the hard surfaces. That's one way that we look at organisational life. But if we want to reframe and to re-experience the world, instead of going straight on at the bridge, we turn right, further along, and you'll see a portal to a different world. And that's a series of steps that will take you down onto the foreshore. Take those steps down, and that's where the filming is. It goes to the steps down, and you stand on the foreshore with the water lapping up at you. Instantly, you're aware of a different sound, a different quality of existence and smell. There are very few straight surfaces. There are curved surfaces. You hear that the sound is completely different. There are people shouting over the river from boats. There are the chugging of craft going backwards and forwards. You can hear building work. As we know right now, sound travels differently on water. I could go on. But the important thing is, if you take 20 minutes to attune yourself to what's around you, really carefully notice how you're noticing differently. It's a form of meta-noticing. what becomes noticeable for you, particularly if you then look at your feet and around what's around you on the foreshore, whereas a few minutes before you would have walked over the foreshore and you would have missed this sort of trove of artifacts, the tuning into the context and the environment enables you to see all these things that you would never have seen before, like the clay pipes. You see one and then you see 1,000. You see oyster shells with little holes in. You see one and you see 1,000, and then you see this Tudor pottery and clay pipe. You see things that, and you ask yourself the question, why didn't I see that before? And if we apply that to an organisational setting, you know, people talk about panel sets, about the sort of signs that have been covered over. If we apply that to that exercise, to organisational life, and we see our organisation with a similar type of technique, then it offers us the opportunity to actually understand and to see things that as the new person would, And as soon as we do that, we can have conversations with people about that. And as soon as that happens, we have choices. We have ways of thinking and acting, being, doing in the workplace. And I think that's the offer that we have.
I'm struck by how students I work with very often struggle with observing and looking, and particularly from that sort of visual side of things, what are you actually looking at and looking around you? So it's interesting sort of seeing things differently. In a sense, my thought is often, how do I help those students to actually look in the first place? Because quite often they're not at the right stage to think about things differently yet, because they haven't actually noticed in the first place.
Yeah.
Is the use of the metaphor the device to actually get them to look, the metaphor of mudlarking, or is there another step before that, do you think?
I think most of the students I work with are in the world of work, so it is easier for them. Or rather, it's probably more important for them. And the students, the undergraduate students we work with, those people who have been on a placement as well, it's easier for them. So I think there's something about having the experience in the first place that I think is really quite key to it. It's a form of experiential work, really. And that's the aim of this.
Have you found yourself doing that process, working through those techniques, being a mudlarker all the time? Do you find yourself switching in and out? Is it something that you can kind of turn on, adopt a mindset, and all of a sudden you can go, yeah, I can. I've discovered this, I can see that.
I think what I find really interesting is that this takes work and it takes attention. So my sort of default position is that, probably like everybody else, I sort of go through life with a form of, I don't know, efficiency for the day, really. What I'm talking about is a radical slowing down and a radical form of noticing. I think Goethe talks about something along the lines of exact sensorial imagination, the hard work of noticing. So, you know, I'm perhaps like anybody else, when I have a busy day, I've got to get things done. But I do know the importance of saying, okay, there's something really important here. So I've given an example. Teaching spaces that are important to the two of us. If I slow down and look very carefully, as I have done over the last six months, I notice and see that there are problems in how we think about teaching spaces. We focus on efficiency more than the experience, the good quality experience of teaching. So, you know, this is an important practice
Where do you think it's going to lead you?
In the short term, I've got a chapter coming out in a book, Encountering Environments, on this. So that's the piece of writing. In the teaching front, working with groups, for example, even leadership development programs, where I use these metaphors and techniques and ways of looking at the world, and that's brilliant fun. That getting people out in their workplaces to see how people engage with the world differently. I think I think longer term, it's interesting you picked up on the foraging. Longer term, I think there's a bigger program of work that connects with the nature of experience in the workplace. It's a very strong research theme for me.
I suppose out of nosiness, I'm intrigued to know what your students make of the use of that metaphor.
Intrigue, really. This is not something that's particularly normal, I guess. I shared the chapter I've written with a very well-known mudlarker called Malcolm Russell, who's done a brilliant book where I got a lot of inspiration from called Mudlarked, where he's sort of collected all of the artifacts into different themes, has written about a brilliant book. And he's saying, gosh, I never even thought about that in terms of organisational work. So a little bit of they're going to be willing to sort of try something new. But it's in trying something new that enables us to see our own life differently. And people get that, particularly when I talk about sort of anthropologists like Clifford Geertz or whatever about making the ordinary extraordinary, or the extra and the extraordinary ordinary. They get the, as long as it's well explained and the ideas behind it, there's an intrigue and just wanting to get out there and have a go at it.
Mm. And where have you taken them? Have you taken them to a mudlarking area, or have you, having set up the metaphor, send them back to work?
So often it is just at work. So there's a company, an organisation we work with around not too far from here, where we got the group out there, out and about. We've got groups out and about collecting stories from people, doing mudlarking. Not in a physical sense, but in a way that we hear. What are the stories that people tell us that perhaps they've told us many times before, but to see them in a new way? That might be customers, it might be colleagues, it might be bosses, it might be directors. Do we talk to people but listen to them really, really carefully? It might be, and Microsoft Teams is brilliant for this, so that you can go around with your camera, with your phone, taking pictures of things, bringing them back, and then in the wider group, talk through that Teams chat and say, look at that, look at this, isn't that interesting? Look at that sign there. That sign's there, been there, must be about 20 years, and people just don't, you know, what does it say about the way that we, you know, think about our environment? So it's brilliant examples of this sort of collective noticing. When
it's this such a lovely emphasis on the visual. I know you've talked about the stories and collecting stories, yeah, and smell and hearing things. There is something, I think, really rich, potentially really rich, about that idea of the pictures.
Yeah.
What would you suggest that someone else teaching, toying with this idea of trying to get students to develop this idea of noticing and sort of begin to practice noticing in a much more frequent way? Is there a way that you'd suggest they try and use the visual, try and use some kind of pictorial content to kickstart, help their students, nudge them maybe?
I think number one, it is that 20 minutes of noticing one's breathing, noticing one's place in the in the environment, and it sort of goes back to sort of yoga techniques and things like that. But being aware of one's presence in the place that one's in. and that sort of noticing of the noticing. The other thing that's interesting is if with groups of people, if you get them out taking pictures of things and or collecting artifacts, you know, even from the foreshore, a good point to talk about is the different things that people notice. So some people would be attuned to one thing or several things, and other people would be attuned to. There's a difference in what people notice. And in a group exercise we did on the foreshore, it was fascinating that there was one woman who was really attuned to Tudor pottery, of all things, whereas I couldn't see it for toffee. All I could see, perhaps my mawkishness, I could only notice bone. So there's something about that sort of noticing how we see the world differently. And then I think finally, which is really good fun, is bringing those objects or pictures together and to curate them, to bring them together and then to ask as a group, what do you think this says about where we are? To create that sort of collage or create that wider picture.
I really like that idea of a curated activity towards the end of some sort of task along those lines. And I think you know, setting aside those students that we're lucky enough to work with who are in work, and actually you have plenty of material for them to work with, really, in a sense. Those full-time students, there might be something that we could do that makes them focus and notice on their experience around the university and actually use that as part of a discussion about organisation and the way organisations create things.
Yeah.
So that's given me a really helpful idea, I think.
And on that positive note...
Are you going to end there? Is there nothing else you want to say about your mudlarking then?
I don't think so. I think the chapter will be in the Routledge book on Encountering Environments.
Yeah.
Available from all good bookshops, no doubt, at some point. And it's been great fun to write, really, and to think about.
Good. So, as a closing comment then, a couple of hours ago we were sailing around Chichester Harbour. What did you notice?
I noticed as soon as we got out of Chichester Harbour how rough it was. I certainly noticed that.
Hence we found ourselves a nice little calm spot.
Yeah, to do this podcast.
Well, I'm pleased you noticed that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks Rob. That was really good.